Love is unconditional. That really is the basis of what love is. It is an infinite expression of energy that does not stop based on anything. We are all loved. We are, our natural state is to love one another.
We are team humanity. We are all a team. We are all a species together. We're all a family. We're all one.
If we only speak love, the universe very quickly will return that, reflect it back, and then create a world for all of us that is based on love.
What would love say right now? How would love show up? How would love express? How would love respond to this person? The words that we are speaking are so, so powerful. If you knew how powerful your words are, you would never speak anything but love again.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast.
My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love.
We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our 7-year journey to unconditional love.
Our mission is to help you learn how to love consciously in all of your relationships so we can journey together towards a more effective, intentional, and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously.
Together, we have overcome neurodivergence, mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and grief. After 6 years, the lack of knowledge on how to heal or love each other through these challenges led to our separation.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we built our new conscious partnership, founded on unconditional love and a commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us as we put it all out there to show you the duality of our love's pain and beauty.
And remind you that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love. Namaste and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast. Today we have episode number 30 and we are going to talk about loving language. This podcast has been running for 11 months now. We are almost to the year mark and we are coming to you live from Washington. We left Portland a couple of days ago. And we are currently staying at a community alchemy farm, I guess is the best way I could describe it. We want to start off by being really vulnerable about this episode. This episode was actually birthed a year ago when we were downloading and creating a bunch of content for this podcast. We came up with like 20, 25 episodes in one night. And this one has kind of always been at the forefront of our minds. It's been in our queue countless times, and we've actually started to record it 3 different times, one of them getting almost 20 minutes in. And every single time, it was really difficult for us. And the hard truth is, this is the hardest thing in our relationship. Consistently embodying and cultivating loving language with each other is a challenge for us. And as we were looking at this episode, we were thinking a lot about where that comes from. And naturally, we would look at our family systems. And we're definitely going to talk about that, and that is true. However, we're going to zoom out even further because it's a very small, limited perspective to just look at our families. While we may have learned this from them, they learned it from somewhere else, and so on and so on. And we're really going to be looking at this as a holistic and systemic issue with humanity right now, and how we've all as a species gotten into a really difficult place of allowing and cultivating unloving language. Getting into this intro here, we're going to be covering 3 broad types of language. So you have verbal language, which are the words that we speak, our physical language, which is our behaviors that we use to speak. And then we also have our energetic language. This is the energy or intention behind the words we speak. And you hear a lot about verbal and physical because we, as a species right now, are much more matter. And as we ascend and grow spiritually, we need to start including energy because energy is a language too, right? You know, when someone says something to you and they're being inauthentic, and though the words being spoken and their physical language might be aligned with that, the energy feels off. So that third part is really important. Obviously, we're going to spend most of our time talking about verbal. We want to start off by really reminding of the beautiful Nikola Tesla, that everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. Language especially. Our language not only creates our reality, but it is the creation of sound. It is one of the most powerful tools that we have. And to be frank, we have billions and billions of people running around this planet creating wildly unloving realities with their words because they don't know how powerful their words are. We, of course, want to remind you the goal is always to return to love. And so if we're going to return to love with ourselves, with each other, with the divine in this world, our language must reflect that. It's not optional. We have got to start cultivating more loving language. And so it starts with us and then into our families and then ultimately into the world.
It's true. It's just like working a problem backwards, right? We have to start with how we speak to ourselves, then how we speak to others, our close family unit, and then that will grow and spread out to the collective and heal this dichotomy of lashing out and pulling away that we see with our language, and really bring us back to a place of love and communicating from love with the purpose of always choosing love.
Absolutely. I definitely want to be really authentic that this might be a difficult episode for some people to listen to. It might be really triggering. And as always, we encourage you to remember a trigger is a good thing. It's showing you where there is opportunity for growth. And our only way out is through. And it starts with the words that we speak and the way that we talk to each other and the way that we talk about society, politicians, maybe even people that we quote unquote perceive to be bad, to be criminals, to be whatever that may be. And so we're really going to be calling you forward in this episode to choose a higher perspective and to really start to understand, and embody loving language with everyone. Even if we don't agree with them, even if they've done something that we deem as unforgivable or not lovable, we still inherently need loving language in this world. And so like Eric briefly mentioned, we have three kind of core ways we see this. We have a reactive type of language. This is where I tend to fall in the category of. So this is kind of attacking and spewing emotional poison. We'll cover that a little bit later. We've mentioned that a few times on the show. That comes from Don Miguel Ruiz in his Mastery of Love book. We have the oppressive, which is withholding and rejecting love. And I'm talking about more in a borderline or possibly neglectful way. Completely and entirely, this would look like ignoring, blocking, completely removing any facet of language and communication and love from another person. And then obviously we have healthy expression, right? Loving language, which we of course all want and we all want to get to. Starting with energetic. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because, as we said earlier, this is the intention behind your words, and we just did an episode on this. So definitely go check that episode out. That episode is titled Focus Only on Love, and we really deep dived into intention. The intention behind the words that you speak is just as important as the words themselves. And one thing that we did want to call out here is we don't want to use this as a way for spiritual bypassing. Something that I've heard a lot in my experience, you may not have, is when someone says something and then the other person has a reaction or an emotion or a response to that, and then the person says, well, that wasn't my intention. Or kind of that notion of, well, if you feel a certain way, it's not my problem because it wasn't my intention. And this is one of those moments where we're really going to call people to a higher perspective, right? This is conscious relating. If we want to move into a world of love, we are going to have to start doing some difficult work. And that means taking responsibility that whether or not it was your intention, and we could go really deep into if it was pure and 100% authentic love, they likely wouldn't feel that way, but that's a whole other conversation. Whether or not it was your intention, that person is having an experience. And that is an opportunity for you to embody love and compassion and empathy for whomever is sitting across from you, another being that is in need of love at this time, and to choose to work together to return to love and to choose different language that is maybe less difficult for that person. And so that's really all we had on the energetic point. Definitely check out Focus Only on Love and just know what you speak is very important. And while that's what we're going to talk about today, the intention behind it is just as, if not more, important. And so we already laid that groundwork, listened to that one, and now we're going to move into talking about verbal.
Yeah, one thing I would like to add on the energy portion is that it really is as important as the physical, because it speaks to the soul versus speaking to this 3D body. You know, we can only perceive so much with the body, but our souls perceive so much more. And so if our energetics are off in the way we communicate with others, we've seen this in our partnership, where I'll come up and I will communicate something that seems to be from love, right, on the surface, and there's a distinct pulling away of energy on her part, where it really makes me question, okay, what intention, what energy am I bringing to this conversation? And I can find almost always there's something that is present that I can take accountability for. Something about why I was saying what I was saying that points back to a need that I was trying to get met through her. And so when I was able to take accountability for that and bring that to transparency in the field, we were able to return to love in that sense.
Yeah, I know in those moments, it's really interesting because I hear the words you're saying, but then the energy is out of alignment. Mm-hmm. And I usually will just tell you, I don't know why right now, but what you're saying doesn't feel authentic to me. And that's a really good trigger phrase for Eric to be like, why am I saying what I'm saying? What is the energy behind what I'm saying? I love so much that you shared that. While you were talking, I had a massive download about sarcasm. And it's something we've explored a lot in our relationship, and we've seen a lot of jokes about lately in like the spiritual space that like sarcasm is one of the worst things ever, especially when you're dealing with, for example, I have several people in my immediate circle who are autistic. You know, autism is a massive spectrum. I'm starting to realize a lot of people fall on that spectrum somewhere, myself included. And sarcasm is really difficult for those people in my life to understand. And it's because they so literally take the words to mean what they are. They don't read as much into the energy, or they read so much into the energy, it feels very confusing and out of alignment for them. And so something that I've done a lot of work around is being conscious of my sarcasm, because you and some of my closest friends, they just don't get sarcasm. And so I feel like sarcasm is a really good example to make this make sense right here about energetics, when what you truly intend to say and the words you're saying don't match up. Getting into the verbal section here, we also want to share a little bit of vulnerability about our journey here. As I said in the beginning, I tend to be more reactive, you tend to be more oppressive, though we both flow in and out of those. This isn't black and white, right? Like it varies depending on the mood and the day and the conversation. For us, outside of obviously honesty in the beginning, loving language has been hard. We both had really challenging and different and difficult models of this growing up, of how people in our family systems spoke to each other. I remember being a very small child. It was very, very normal to hear my parents speak poorly of each other. There was a lot of conflict in that relationship throughout much of my life, including after one of my parents passed away, and my family system in general. And to just be really vulnerable, and I don't share this with the intention of recreating this or garnering any type of sympathy, because it just is what it is. There is no personal aspect to this. This is just hurt people hurting people. But to give it context of what I mean here, in my family system, it is very normal and widely accepted to say really horrific things about people. It's completely normal for part of my family system to make death threats. I've had that said to me multiple times over the last 10 to 15 years by one of my family members, to call into question, you know, my character, my worthiness. I won't repeat the words because the words in and of themselves don't matter. But in my family system, it really is acceptable and normal to treat people this way. And they're all just doing what they're seeing and what was modeled to them, right? We all are doing what we know. And this is where I want to zoom out, because it's not even about my family system. It's not even about us. We use unloving language and unloving ways of speaking to each other. And so does my family. And that's coming from a larger collective problem. As far as, you know, our relationship, for me, I just kind of saw that this is the way people speak. You know, both of my parents don't always use the most loving language, or don't and didn't. One of them obviously isn't alive, but I really just grew up in a family system where that was normal. Some of my earliest memories as a very small child is of high conflict situations where highly unloving things were being said. And so you can see how that really bred into my young psyche, and frankly, into my ego, which we're going to talk a lot about in this episode, because that's all this is. It's just a triggered ego spewing what it knows to make it feel safe, make it feel in control, make it feel powerful, right? If I can lash out at you, then I'm strong, I'm powerful, I'm safe. That's really what this is. And so it learned that really young. And through learning that, I continued that cycle. And so here you have two people who are breaking that cycle for our future children, breaking that cycle for future generations, because I want a world for my kids that is founded on loving language.
That's beautiful. And thank you so much for doing the work with me here, because I know that it is not always the easiest choice to return to love, but it is for sure the most rewarding and the most healing. You know, we had almost completely opposite experiences when it comes to types of communication. And for me, in my family unit, a pattern that is present across much of the family is the repressive act of shutting down when conflict arises or a difficult situation arises, and kind of turning inwards to have an internal dialogue with the ego and bottle down the emotions until they eventually explode. That's very different from the immediate reactive reaction of my partner's family system, in that that energy is immediately released as soon as it's felt. And so we found ourselves in this really challenging dynamic, which offers some seriously deep healing on both of our parts, where essentially our two modes of unloving language feed off of each other on a loop. She will have that reactive expression. It will immediately trigger my defense mechanisms, my ego. I will completely shut down and pull away love, abandoning her, neglecting her, moving inwards until I feel safe enough to come back out. It's so interesting because even in just the last couple months, I found myself actually participating in the reactive, and I've seen you also participate in the repressive nature of shutting down, which is a new development in our partnership. And I'm just recently in meditation had the download that we're actually, as we've chosen to heal and come together in this aspect, we've now gotten the opportunity to, you know, as we spend more time with each other, to actually embody the other person's method of expressing from a place of shadow. And this can lead to two different directions in relationship. It can force you in completely opposite directions if we identify with those experiences and we project the blame onto our partner, saying, I'm feeling this new sensation because you are present in my life, and if you leave my life, then I will no longer feel that way. Maybe. Or maybe we'll just recreate that in another partnership.
I vote the latter.
The other option might be that we are feeling these new experiences and things are quote-unquote getting worse or more intense, because they are offering an opportunity to empathize with our partners and to find deep healing in that sense.
Yeah, it's been a really interesting experience because you're not usually, well, I don't want to say you're not usually one to get angry because you do. You just, again, that repressive nature, you shove it down, bottle it down, project it inwards on yourself as guilt and shame and self-loathing, which when you really zoom out and look at is just another form of ego and pride. That's a whole other conversation as well, though, but there's been a few instances lately where you've like snapped at me and said some really like blunt, mean, kind of hurtful things, and it's been so jarring. And immediately, you know, my inner child and just me is like, hey, like, that was really mean. I can't believe you just said that to me. But like, that is how I've spoken to you. And then vice versa, where you're trying to give, you know, love or whatever, and I just completely shut down. And so we are seeing kind of that flipping of the roles a little bit, if you will. And it's just really fascinating how relationships develop. I want to talk a little bit about the importance of language, because we're going to get a little bit deeper than this. We have barely scratched the surface. We are really going to get into talking about the world. And that's going to be uncomfortable, because the reality is much of the world is being highly unloving with their language. It's not okay. And most of us are condoning and participating in it in some area of our lives. And what we're basically saying here is this is an all or nothing. You're either using loving language or you're not. You can't use loving language with your family and your friends and the people you like, but not with the people that you don't like, or the political party you don't like, or the criminal you don't like. Language creates our reality. When we speak, sound comes out, vibrations come out, right? We talked in our devotion episode about words having energy to them, like the word devotion, love, empathy, grace, forgiveness, compassion. Those have a very different vibration than other words that I'm not even going to give airspace on here, right? We're all about spreading love here. You are creating with your voice. It, you know, in the Bible, right, it says, in the beginning there was the word, right? The divine spoke the universe into existence. And if you can just sit with that and meditate on that, profound insights will come through. Because it literally was a creation of sound, right? The sacred Om, for example. We are just now starting to learn about somatics, how different sounds and different words make different crystals and images and patterns. It's really beautiful, to be honest. I don't even think we could do justice in this episode to how important your language is. If you are constantly speaking out loud, for example, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick, I have this thing, identifying with whatever label the medical system has given you, you're going to be sick. That's a promise. You are choosing to consciously, subconsciously, and verbally create that in every aspect. And so it's just going to keep creating. If you sit there and you believe in your subconscious, conscious, and your words, I am healthy, I am healed, I am perfect, I am whole and complete, and you do the work around embodying that, then that's what you're going to see in your experience. You are creating your reality through your words. If in some way you can integrate that, and even if you're faking it till you make it, and you're just like, yeah, I don't know, Eric and Amaris, like, creating reality with words, that sounds pretty wild. I'm here to tell you, it gets way more wild than that. Just try and hold that in the forefront of your mind as we move through the rest of this, because that's the premise of everything we're getting into here. If you are using words and intention and physical language of love, that's the reality you're going to create. And that's what we're going for here.
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak to the importance of words in even this partnership, in that we can be having an extremely high intensity conflict. We take a small break to separate and allow energy to move. I'll still be feeling the full intensity of the conflict. But if my partner comes to me and uses their words to communicate something from love, it immediately pulls me out of that experience. I mean, immediately. It's like, oh, I don't need to be in fight mode here. I don't need to be in flight mode here. I can just be present with this person because they're also here and it's safe. We can use our words and the frequency of love to create a container for our loved ones to come back to love in.
Okay, y'all, we're going to get into it. This is kind of the meat and the core point we're going to talk about here, because in order to talk about cultivating loving language, which we have a lot of really beautiful, highly helpful conscious advice right after this section to give you, we've got to talk about where we are currently. And it's all around this emotional poison aspect and where we find humanity in today. And I'm going to speak very generally and holistically. This obviously does not include everyone. It is not all inclusive. And so please know this is just generalized. However, we as a species, humanity, have become very accustomed to unloving language. We see it on the news. We see it on social media. And that does not mean that these things are all inherently bad and that everything on there is unloving emotional poison. However, it is an issue. And a really great example here, and we are not going to get into politics. That is not what this is. It is just an example for teaching. It's looking at the political system. It's looking at politics, right? I am absolutely flabbergasted at the way in which our politicians speak about each other. I know that it wasn't like this 20, 30, 40 years ago. It is atrocious the way that people are speaking about politicians as well. You know, you see on social media, like, so-and-so is, and I am totally dumbing this down, but so-and-so is a terrible person. They don't deserve to live. Like, I wish something would happen to them. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me that it is deemed okay now to speak that way. We have politicians on national television calling other politicians stupid, calling them names, attacking their families, their personal character. That is not loving language, and that is the example that we're sending to people. You know, we see quite often when someone in the world that's well known, that was maybe deemed by a large percentage of people to be quote unquote not a good person, when something happens to them, you see the comments. Well, they got what they deserved. I'm glad they're gone. Whatever it may be. If we cannot get to a place as a species where we agree that that is not acceptable, we are never going to have a world of love. If you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything. That is probably the most profound piece of wisdom my parents ever gave me growing up. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything. Because you are creating more hate. You are creating the opposite of love. You are speaking into existence more sound and more vibration that's not of love. And as we've talked about in our energy and intention episode, focus only on love. Whatever you feed is what you grow. If you can't muster saying something loving, it's better to not say anything at all. Of course, we want to get to a place where we can see the humanity in everyone and we can see the love in everyone. Essentially, where we are right now as a species is a large percentage of the population spewing emotional poison at each other, at the political party they don't agree with, at their families, at people who maybe have different opinions on medical choices. I just don't know where along the way it became okay. I don't know where along the way we lost that we are all individuals and we all have the right to our own opinions, and where sharing those opinions has become so unloving. It's really hard to see in the world, and I know that it's necessary for humanity's growth. I know that in order to learn how to speak lovingly, we first have to speak unlovingly, right? We have to experience both sides to fully understand and embody loving language. But it is really tough to see. And at its base core, what I'm trying to say here is we have to find a way as a one collective humanity, one species, one consciousness, one everything. We are all one. We are all connected. We are all the divine expressing itself. At the end of the day, we are all inherently equal in value. We all deserve love, regardless of what we've done. We're not our worst moments. We've all done things that we're not proud of. We can sit here and say, well, this one is much worse, or there's a line, right? You deserve love up to maybe hurting a child or murder, right? Those tend to kind of be the two examples people like to throw out. Love is not exclusive. right? Love just is. It's the fabric of everything. And so if we give buts to love and we say, oh, well, X, Y, and Z deserves love, or this political party deserves love, or my family deserves love until, those buts, ifs, whens, untils, it's just not exclusive. You know, it's inclusive. It's everything is love. And so how do we do the inner work for ourselves to get to a place where we can not condone, not agree with, but still be loving and still choose love?
What you're saying is that love is unconditional. That really is the basis of what love is. It is an infinite expression of energy that does not stop based on anything. We are all loved. Our natural state is to love one another. We have the free will to choose to withhold love, essentially, or to not show that love. And well, I guess what we're trying to say is that there is never a reason to not show love. And fundamentally, it's not about what's happening between you and your partner, or you and whoever you are consciously relating with. It's about how we are collectively communicating with each other as a whole, as a species, because there is no separation between any of us. And when we use our energy to say things that are not from love, we are communicating into the field of existence and creation that it is okay for people to talk that way to us. And the minute we realize that and we take seriously that our words and our language matters and make a commitment to really only communicating love, then just like an artificial intelligence or a computer program, we as a species can change all the inputs of the algorithm and say, okay, from now on, we're just going to only input love. Whatever we don't speak doesn't fully actualize, because that is the method at which the universe understands, okay, this is being put into my field. I now have to create something to reflect that. If we only speak love, the universe very quickly will return that, reflect it back, and then create a world for all of us that is based on love.
I love so much how you made it so personal there. That was a really profound insight of whatever you are speaking out is what you're going to get back, right? If you are loving 95% of the time, right? You're loving to your partner and your friends until or but a certain presidential candidate you don't agree with, right? Nope. I've literally heard, I can't even count how many people speak these words. Everyone deserves love but that person. Or everything deserves love but that situation. And we're going to get into that, because we're going to move now into some really, really beautiful and high-level conscious advice on how you can start to cultivate more loving language. It really is. It's truth. What we give is what we receive. And that means all the time, friends. It's not a sometimes type of game, right? We could spend hours talking about where the world is at. That's definitely not what we want to give all of our energy and intention to in this episode. It felt really necessary and important to call this out, because we got to talk about the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is, the longer that we as a species say, well, everyone in the world deserves love, but insert whatever you personally disagree with. Everyone in the world deserves loving language, but we're never going to move forward. And again, even if you're not there yet, that's okay. It's okay. It takes time. It takes a lot of really, really, really deep inner work to see the divine and the need for love in some of the hardest to love people and things in the world. That takes a lot of inner work. And it's okay if you're not there yet. Like I said, then just don't say anything. Right? If your option is love or unlove with your language, the best thing that you can do is just not say anything. Don't engage. Don't comment. Don't respond. We had a rule for a long time in our relationship, and it served us really well with us and our friends and family. And it was, we don't do politics. We just don't talk about it with people, because then unloving things can't be said, right? It doesn't matter what we think. My opinion doesn't matter. That's the problem, is that there's 8 billion people thinking that they need to give their opinion about these things. Just choose love. And if you can't choose love, then just don't say anything. Moving into some of this advice. Let's start with consent. And again, we'll give a little brief of kind of where we are, because honestly, y'all, and this may just completely blow your mind because you've never looked at it like this before. I know it did when I first looked at it like this last couple of years. We are just a society that doesn't ask for consent. We share our opinions without asking for consent. We dump our stuff on each other without asking for consent. Think about it. How many times do you just reach out to someone in your life and just tell them all your problems without asking if they're in a place to receive that? How many times do you offer your opinion to someone, right? You're in a conversation or you're witnessing a conversation and politics or religion or world events comes up and you just state your opinion without asking for consent. How many times in your relationship do you say something to the other person, your friendships, your family, and say anything that starts with the word you? You are this, or you're doing that, without asking for consent. Asking for consent is one of the most powerful things that you can do in cultivating loving language. Are you able to receive my opinion right now? Are you in a place to hear my struggles right now? Are you open to hearing a loving reframe right now? Asking for consent. It's so simple, and we teach people and children to do it with their bodies, right? You need to ask for consent to touch someone. Why don't you need to ask for consent to say something to someone?
In addition to asking for consent, it's really important to honor whatever is said, even if it is against what you would prefer in that moment, right? Maybe there is something that you would really like to reframe for your partner, or something that's really heavy on your heart that you would like to share, and they communicate, no, I'm not in a place to be able to do that right now. I'm not in a place to be able to show up for you in this way right now. It is on us to regulate and deal with those emotions and find another outlet or another method of kind of resolving that energy within us that is not that other person.
The most important thing I can call out here, like if you're struggling with any of the things we're saying, I'll just make it personal again. If you don't ask for consent, and you share something that someone is not willing or able to hear, you have just wasted your energy. You didn't share it for them, you shared it for your ego. You shared it to get it off your chest, to make you feel better, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, if they're not able or willing to receive it, you're wasting your time. I mean, seriously, you are wasting your time. They're not gonna hear you. They're certainly not gonna be in a conscious and loving place to respond to you. It's really that discernment and, like you said, self-regulation of doing the inner work for ourselves to be able to realize, you know what? My partner or my friend or whoever said they can't hear this right now. And so I'm going to wait until they can, because my energy is just as valuable. And so honoring them and their experience, but also honoring myself and my energy, if they can't hear it, there's no use in saying it.
Another aspect of that too, that I've definitely found myself playing out in my patterns, is, you know, when we don't honor that boundary and feel, for whatever reason, what we have to share is so important that we can violate somebody's boundary, and then we share that, and like they communicated, they're not in a place to be able to respond or show up, then frustration shows up, because the ego likes to offer up the story that, well, I just shared this thing and now they're not responding to me. Now they're not doing this thing. They're doing exactly what they said was going to happen. But now the ego likes to be a little psychopathic and then get frustrated when it doesn't get what it wanted. And then resentment can build. Just as much preserving your energy, honoring the other person's boundaries, but you're also mitigating any resentment that might build over time by doing this and playing this out. And so taking that space, honoring their boundary, is always the right thing to do in that moment.
Absolutely. So ask for consent, y'all. We started implementing this, to be honest, I don't even know when, a long time ago, well over a year ago, sometime early last year. And now it's gotten to the point where I can pretty confidently say most of the time, if not all of the time, when we're really being present and embodied, We do not say anything to anybody without asking for consent. And this includes our closest friends. I mean, my closest friend in the world, I do not say anything usually to them about sharing where I'm at or giving my opinion on something without saying, like, are you in a space where you can receive that? Literally last night, we were sitting at the dinner table at this community farm we're visiting, and at least three or four times between the two of us, we said, can I share my thoughts? Are you open to hearing a different perspective? Are you open to hearing what I have to say on this subject? And every time, there's probably, I don't know, five or six other people at the table, you can see it's like a smack in the face because it's jarring. If you've never been asked for consent for words before, it really does take people back. And it's kind of like, whoa, wow, they just asked me if they could share their opinion on what I just said. You know, most times people say yes, but not all the time. I have definitely asked that, and I've had people be like, no, Amaris, I'm not ready to hear your opinion. I don't want advice. I just want you to listen. That's another way you can ask for consent. Would you like me to give my thoughts, or would you like me to just listen? Right? It's showing up for people in the way that they need and prefer in that moment. And it leads us right into our second point here, which is my favorite thing that we've implemented in this relationship. And I want to caveat this with, there should be a very clear and continued conversation about this phrase, what it looks like in your relationship, whatever relationship that is, when it should be used, how it should be used. And I cannot stress enough that the intention and energetics of how you say this phrase are the most important part of the phrase. One way you can support loved ones on this conscious love journey, specifically on cultivating more loving language, is encouraging and inviting them to reframe something. Again, please have a conversation about this, and please know this doesn't mean this works for you. In our relationship, we have agreed that when one of us is speaking or acting in a way out that is out of alignment, that can look like a million different things, it doesn't really matter, but we're acting out of alignment, that the other person can prompt them. And in our relationship, we have no rules on this. It's anytime, anywhere. We do it in front of other people, and it's good to model that behavior. We will look at the other person and we will say, I would like to encourage or invite you to reframe that. And it's just a very calm and plain prompt to say, hey, what you just said wasn't from love, or it wasn't from alignment, or it wasn't from your highest self, and I would like to give you the opportunity to reframe that.
The beautiful thing about this practice is that, one, it brings them into inquiry, right? It offers them the ability to analyze what it is they said, why they said it, and then have an opportunity without judgment or shame or anything else to simply re-qualify what was said. This is a beautiful practice to do out in public because it shows people that it is okay to be human. It is okay to identify with your ego from time to time, because we have all been living in that programming for pretty much all of our lives. It is okay to not always be perfect. And we can invite people that we love to do the work out in the open. It doesn't have to be this thing that we do on early in the morning before anybody wakes up, and late at night when everybody's going to bed of, oh, I'm doing my inner work, you know? This is a practice that we do in every aspect of our life all the time throughout the day. It also shows the other person that you care enough about their journey and their soul that you will hold them accountable. Again, not from a place of you need to be better and do better, but I love you and I want you here in love with me. So let's reframe that in a way that reflects that. The words, like you said, Amaris, don't matter. It's important to have a conversation about this with whoever you're going to reframe, about what words they would prefer to hear, because everybody has different triggers and different experiences from their past, different ways that they were talked to, and different ways and words that make them feel safe. And so finding that out and creating that safe container for your loved one is the most important thing. And then having the consent to do that is also really important.
Mm-hmm. I just thought too, I think that was how we started, because I'm remembering we've been writing this episode for almost a year. We don't really use this one as much anymore. Now our prompt is a question, and I love the question version because it's open-ended, right? It's just a question. And our current question that we use a lot is, was that from love? just point blank ask them, was that from love? And that may be more helpful. You have two kind of options there. I actually really like the question version. Although now, I mean, 8 years in, right, we know each other so well that we can just make a sound. Like, we kind of just go, and immediately one of us knows, oh yeah, I just said something that was out of alignment. This can look like a lot of things. These are just suggestions. Take what resonates, leave what doesn't. This bleeds into our third one here, and you're going to see how these three really tangle in with each other and are interwoven. And this one is, you can always reframe your words. I'm going to say that one more time. You can always reframe your words. The only moment that is real is right now. We don't live in the past. That includes 5 seconds ago, 5 hours ago, 5 days ago, 5 weeks ago, 5 months ago, 5 years ago, 5 decades ago, 5 centuries ago. We live in the now. It is the only thing that's real. I invite you to read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. It's a beautiful example of this. We live in the now. And so holding on to something from the past or something that someone said in the past, regardless of how long ago it was, is not loving, and it's not effective at getting us where we want to be. If somebody is trying to grow and choose love now and reframe their words, we have to save space for that. We have to welcome and celebrate that growth. If 5 minutes ago I was in an ego pattern and I said something unloving, and now 5 minutes later I've come back to center and I'm back in a conscious state, and I take accountability for what I said, and I try to bring it back to love, and then that person says, no, 5 minutes ago, you said this thing. You're a terrible person. Or no, I don't forgive you for that, right? We are quite literally trapping both of us in the past. Mm-hmm. We are recreating energy from 5 minutes ago in the now. That energy doesn't exist in the now unless we allow it to. Why would we want to recreate that? We want to create love here. So please, 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 please allow people to reframe their words. I see this a lot on social media where someone will say something and then come back a couple of comments later and be like, you know what, I apologize, like I shouldn't have said that. And then people will just kind of keep like attacking them. And it's like, we've got to save room and space for people to grow. That is what we're all doing right now. We're all figuring it out. And there's gonna be speed bumps. There's gonna be oopsies. There's going to be lessons, and that's the humanity of it all. And it's, what is the capacity in yourself to save room and space and empathy and compassion for another person? Because I guarantee you, you have said and will say in the future things that were unloving. And so if you want space to be saved for you to reframe your words, then you've got to save space for others.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love so much that you called it an oopsie, because that brings so much levity to a situation, right? If we can just say, oh my gosh, that was a big oopsie, you know? It really is important to be able to practice both, right? To be willing to receive other people as they work to requalify their words and come from a place of love. Right? That's deep work for us, because we get the opportunity to alchemize that emotional poison that was put on us and turn it into love and receive them. And it's really important that when we are the ones requalifying what we're saying, to really focus on the energy and the intention behind that. Because if we come back and just immediately say, oh, I didn't mean that. I meant to say this, right? And then you just change the words, but the energy behind it doesn't change. That isn't actually alchemizing and requalifying. Your energy and your words and your expression all have to match in order for that shift to happen. It doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes later or 30 seconds later or 2 days later. That shift can happen at any point in the present moment. However, if it's not fully aligned and a piece of it is missing, then we don't fully alchemize that.
I love so much that you made it about aligning all three, and we are going to briefly touch on the physical at the end, but obviously this episode's about the verbal, because it's true. If your energy, words, and actions are not in alignment, and even one of those is slightly off, it's a misaligned thing. And I literally said this today in a post I made on Instagram where I said, Whether people consciously know it yet or not, we all know energy. We all speak that language. Most of us aren't tapped into it yet, but a lot of us are starting to be. You know when someone's energy doesn't match their words. You know when someone's saying something really kind, but giving you sarcastic body language. So aligning those three is so important. The last thing I want to say before we move on to our favorite tip, and then we'll talk about the physical and close with some really profound contemplation questions, is remember, if it's not from love, then it was ego. Period. There's really only those two expressions, right? We're either in the frequency of love or we're in the frequency of ego, unconsciousness, unloving, whatever you want to call that. The goal here is to get into the frequency of love. And so if someone says something that's unloving, and then either by being invited or just on their own, they reframe it, and then you don't return to love, that responsibility and that issue now lies with you. The work is now yours to do, right? If I say something unloving and Eric invites me to reframe it and I do, but Eric doesn't quote unquote forgive me and holds on to that energy and that resentment, the ball is now in Eric's court, right? Like, I've reframed my words, I'm in alignment. You're right, that wasn't loving. Let me reframe that. And this is something that's been a really tough lesson for me and has manifested a lot in our partnership. Because as I started inviting you to reframe unloving things, you would reframe them and then my ego was still triggered. And then there's always a moment, and I nowadays hear my higher self clear as day saying, it's your choice. That's literally what I hear in my head. I hear the words like, it's your choice, or the ball's in your court, or what are you going to choose here, Amorous? Because he just genuinely, I feel it, his energy, his words, his body language, they're aligned. He returned to love. Am I going to now choose to go out of love by being triggered by when he wasn't in love? Or am I going to do the inner work for myself and choose love so that we both come back to the frequency of love? This is what we mean when we talk about on the show that relationships are a team effort. And I'm so glad I remembered to bring this up. I really wanted to talk about this in this episode. We are team humanity. We are all a team. We are all a species together. We're all a family. We're all one. And we've forgotten that. It's become an us versus them, red versus blue, left versus right, man versus woman, this versus that. I mean, you could literally insert this country versus that country, this race versus that race, this age versus that age, this class versus that class. Like, it's mind-blowing the amount of division that's in this world. And it's intentional. You keep people divided, you keep people distracted, you keep people out of love. They keep buying into a system that's not serving them, but that's serving the system and those who built the system and who benefit off the system. We're all one, y'all. We're all one family. And our inherent essence and nature is love. And the most powerful way that you can make a shift in your life right now by doing almost nothing, spending no money, you don't have to do any courses, you don't have to do any plant medicines, you don't have to do any retreats. It's just being conscious of your language, of when throughout the day, and it's so subtle, when are you not being loving? When are you not being a team player for the team humanity? Because every life is valuable, because everyone needs and deserves love. That is the like basic foundation, and if we can't all agree on that, well, I guess we're just going to look at another couple hundred years of where we're at right now. And as you can see, that tension is escalating and growing because we need some love. And it starts with our words.
And it really is us that embody the change. It starts with each of us as individuals revisiting how we show up and how we express. Because when we all start showing from a place of love, the world cannot help but reflect that. And you covered something really important about the dynamic of this partnership and how, you know, we could play this thread out conceptually, and we've played it out in real life of, okay, I requalified something, you had an ego reaction, let's say you chose not to return to love and you chose to identify with that ego, which has happened, and vice versa with me as well. It then passes on to me as a person who has requalified, and then seeing my partner still identified with whatever story they're identified with, to have the compassion and the love to hold the space until they are able to do that. Because if I then go into resentment and the ego, because the ego will always offer these stories of, hey, I requalified what I said. They didn't return back to love. Now I'm feeling frustrated, right? Now I'm feeling resentment. And that baton can pass back and forth from partner to partner in this never-ending loop of, this person's not doing what I want them to do. This person isn't doing what I want them to do. I heard this amazing person talk about relationships and talking about this concept that it's not 50-50. It's not even 100-100, right? It's about knowing that when somebody doesn't have the capacity and is operating at 10%, that their partner will carry that other 90%.
That would be Brené Brown. We love her. I have Courage Over Comfort tattooed over my heart, which came from one of her Netflix specials, and I'm currently reading her Dare to Lead book. But yes, we saw this clip. I think I might have sent it to you on Instagram, where she was talking about her and her husband and how they come home and immediately have a conversation. Where are you at? I'm at 20. I'm at 50. I'm at 60. And that tells them how they can show up and engage with each other throughout the night. Because if they're both coming home from work at a 20, something's going to need to be done to address that, because we're not going to function as a loving, cohesive team if we're both at 20. So I love so much that you brought that up. It's really just remembering it's teamwork here. We're in this together. The ego wants us to believe it's us versus them. The ego wants us to believe, needs, it's not even wants, it needs us to believe that we're separate, that I'm this individual person over here and it's all about my experience and I need to protect and I need to identify and attach and defend, because if I don't do those things, I'm gonna die. That's that ultimate fear, right? The core fear of death. It's death of the ego. The work for us is to separate from that. It's to start recognizing it, retraining it, requalifying it, learning to love it, bringing love to it, and no longer letting it be our default mode network. The last piece of advice we have for you here, and we've talked about this before, I really feel like we could probably talk about this 1,000 times because it's that powerful. It's using and instead of but. You hear a lot when you are in conflict with people, I love you, but you're being a dick right now. Or I love you, but what you just did wasn't okay. Or I really want to go do that with you tonight, but I'm not in a place where I can. These are just a couple of really loose examples that I just literally pulled out of my mind. Using but is very dismissive and disqualifying. And I think it's something we all unconsciously do. And I'm hoping now that you've heard this, you'll start to catch yourself throughout the day, you know, like with your kids or with your friends or your partner or whoever, your family, of saying something and then immediately following it with the word but. Because it makes it subconsciously, right? We're talking about the ego and the subconscious here. It makes it as if, well, this thing was true, but the thing that came after it is more true. Or, well, this thing is true, but the thing that came after it trumps it. Changing it to and in our partnership, we did this a really long time ago, has been so effective because both exist. I love you and I'm not able to have this conversation right now. I would really love to go, and what I need tonight to honor my spaciousness is to stay home. You can see how that hits very different than I love you, but I'm not willing to have this conversation. Even the frequency of the word but is very dismissive. Using and is a really helpful tool to cultivate more loving language, because I see so often people well-intentioned, this is well-intentioned, y'all, will say something loving, then say the word but, and then say the more difficult thing. What is the mind here? What is the ego here? It only hears the second thing. And in fact, it not only just hears the second thing, but sometimes it hears the second thing and then a dismissal of the first. Well, you just said you love me, and then you gave me a but, and then you gave me something that doesn't feel loving, right? And so when we can let the first thing be what it is, the loving statement, I love you, and, right, both, and then say the other thing, it is a profound way to skirt the ego. It is a profound way to be more loving when we are sharing something with someone.
And at its core, the word but is contracting, right? If you feel, say the word but, something in front of it, but something afterwards, and see how that feels in your body. Do you find yourself opening up or do you find yourself closing in, right? It creates boundaries. The word and is expansive. It shatters boundaries and it quite literally invites in all possibilities. It's saying this exists and that exists at the same time, which is the truth of the universe. There is no but. Contrast isn't a this or that. It's a this and that. It's both experiences happening so that they can know and relate to one another.
Definitely invite you all to start being conscious of where you are using the word but. I'll be really honest, most of the spiritual teachers and people that I personally follow don't do this. And I listen to them and they're in the flow, they're channeling, they're giving these like high level lessons or speeches or reels on Instagram, and they say something so powerful, right? They're trying to make a point and they go this and this and this, and those things are all wonderful, but we need to do this, this, and this. And it's like immediately in my body, I'm like, ugh, you just like half, like though you didn't mean to energetically, right? Intention of the words and then the energy behind their meaning, but dismisses. And on the flip side, very rarely when I hear someone giving a speech or a talk or a lesson and they say something, they say, you know, this and this and this is great. And we have some opportunity for growth, right? Not, we're doing really good here, but we're sucking here. It's we're doing really good here, and we have some opportunity here. Do you hear the difference in those? Like, it's really palpable. So inviting you to start that in your life, it's been profound for not only us, but our friends and the people we use it with. The third and final thing here is physical, right? We talked about energetic. We talked about verbal. We are not going to spend more than like one or two sentences on this because this is, I feel like, the most obvious out of the three. It's your presence. It's your body language. Are your arms crossed? Are you rolling your eyes? Are you on your phone? Are you turning your body away from the person? This is really, really base level stuff. And at the end of the day, you're either willing to take accountability for the way that you are holding your physical body in a space, or you're not there yet. And both are valid. And see, I caught myself there. I was about to say the B word. And it's really an invitation to be really honest and authentic with yourself. No one can hear what's going on in your mind. It's just you and your higher self and your ego. It's just an invitation to be more conscious of how you are holding your physical body in this world. So we've looked at a lot here. This has been a really dynamic and deep conversation. And I just really want to recap here that you are creating your reality with your words. You can create a reality of conflict and pain and ego and chaos, or you can create a reality of love. That is the power of free will. You came down into this world with free will, and you have the ability to exercise it. You can change the world. It may not be immediately evident in your experience. However, when you start to choose love and create love with your words, it ripples out to the collective. It ripples out to those around you. We've started to notice some of our close friends starting to catch themselves and correct themselves and use and instead of but. And some of these things we've talked about just because we do it. It really does expand out to others. Choosing love is not always the easiest choice, but it is the most rewarding and it is the most powerful for what humanity needs right now. We have more than enough of all of the other stuff that I'm not going to name. We need more love. You can be a love warrior with us. We have dedicated so much of our lives and our mission and our frequencies and our voices to spreading love. And we really, really invite you today to do the same. Closing us out here, we've got some questions. I really liked the idea, I think we just started this an episode or two ago, of leaving with some contemplation questions. Contemplation is such a powerful tool. It was a huge part of the spiritual program we did. It's a part of the ministry that I'm creating and sending into the prisons. I have contemplation questions in there for them on the material that's being presented. And it really just gives you things to think about because contemplation takes it inward and we can start questioning the narratives of our egos and of our minds. This one's my favorite. What would love say? What would love say right now? How would love show up? How would love express? How would love respond to this person? Is the energy behind my words and my actions coming from pure and authentic love? Is my physical presence one that's inviting and cultivating love? And are my words aligned with the frequency and vibration of love? Most importantly, remember, you can cultivate more loving language. The words that we are speaking are so, so powerful. If you knew how powerful your words are, you would never speak anything but love again. And we're human. We have egos. I am human. I have an ego. And sometimes that default program comes on. I fall into some unconsciousness. My ego takes charge. I say things that are unloving. And immediately I'm like, oh, I can't believe I just said that. I can't believe I just created that. And it's just an opportunity to create love. And what's really, really freaking cool about this, y'all, let me let you in on a little secret. When you say or create something that's unloving and you catch yourself and you reframe and requalify it to something that's loving, that is 1,000 times more powerful than had you just said the loving thing from the get-go. Because you are requalifying and retraining your mind and your ego. You are showing yourself, the other person, whoever else is involved, and the collective subconsciously through our joint collective mind here, that we can change and grow and be human and make mistakes and learn lessons. So don't be afraid to requalify your words. Don't be afraid to choose love and just get out there and cultivate more loving language in this world. We need it so desperately right now.